Anybody just love being told no? I mean, how about when you were a child, or if you are a child right now, do you love when your parents tell you no? Mom, can I hang out with my friends tonight? No. Dad, can I have some candy? No. Mom, can I stay up past my bedtime? No. Or how about when you're an employee? Don't you just love when your boss tells you no? Can I get an extension on that deadline? No. Can I get a pay raise? No. Can I get off work early on Friday? No. We really dislike being told no. We really dislike not getting our way. But it doesn't stop there. We also dislike being told what we have to do. We dislike being told how to do something. Anybody appreciate it when someone tells you how to drive? No? What about how to do your job? Do you enjoy that either? The point is, we don't enjoy receiving commands. We don't like being under authority. Yet what we fail to realize is that the very thing that we hate is actually one of the very best things for us. And today we're going to find out why. If you haven't been with us over the course of the summer, we've been going through a series called Because of Love, a study of the Ten Commandments. In this series, we've explored how God gives us the Ten Commandments out of love. And the Ten Commandments are given to us to teach us how to love. They teach us how to love God and how to love others. In the last 4 weeks, we've covered the first four commandments, which lay that foundation for how we are to love God. This morning, we're going to enter into the fifth commandment. And in the following weeks, as we cover commandments 5 through 10, we'll see that these commandments relate to how we go about loving others. So if you have your Bibles with you today, you can go ahead and pull them out. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be taking a look at verse 12 today, which is the fifth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Now, you can also follow along the screen, but let's go ahead and read our text for this morning, which says this: Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the gift that it is. We thank you that it is indeed holy and perfect. And Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would guide us and direct us in your truth, that you would anchor us in your truth, that you would give us eyes to see your truth, ears to hear your truth, a heart that longs to understand and know your truth. Lord, would you help us fall deeper in love with you this morning? We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want you to picture this. An entire mountainside of trees that are thriving, that are vibrant, that are full of green leaves. But creeping in is a sickness that begins to spread among the trees. The trees turn sickly brown. Leaves begin to wither and fall. Ooze begins to seep out of the bark of these trees. And life is slowly suffocated from these trees until what once was a mountainside teeming with life becomes nothing more than a graveyard of trees. This is a picture of what is happening in parts of Northern California. A sickness is spreading over the forests. The sickness comes from an invasive pathogen called sudden oak death. It has killed millions of trees to a point where whole mountainsides are completely dead. Now, despite the name sudden oak death, it slowly saps the life of oaks over the course of 2 to 5 years, turning them first sickly brown and then suffocating them until they eventually die. Yet this is not only a picture of what is happening in Northern California, it is also a picture of what is going on in our hearts this morning. We have a sickness that is slowly spreading in our hearts. Something that is turning our hearts sickly brown. Something that is causing our hearts to wither. Something that is causing our hearts to ooze with a sickness. Something that is slowly suffocating the life from them. And the name of this sickness is something that we are well familiar with. Its name is rebellion. It is not only reflected in our actions, but also our words, our thoughts, and our attitudes. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to decide what we want to do, so we rebel. We don't want to be under authority. We want to be the authority, so we rebel. We don't want to be creation. We want to be creator, so we rebel. We don't want to be image bearers of God. We want to be God, so we rebel. Yet if we're not careful, if we allow the sickness of rebellion to remain rooted in our hearts, if we do nothing to address it, it will slowly suffocate all life from us. Our heart will become not the mountainside that is teeming with life, but rather the mountainside that is a graveyard of the dead. But what can we do to stop this sickness from spreading? What can we do to address the rebellion that we find in our hearts? Well, today in the fifth commandment, we find that the remedy to the sickness of rebellion is the fact that we need to be under authority. We need to be under authority. So today, as we study the fifth commandment, we're going to take a look at three things: the authority giver, those given authority, and those under authority. The authority giver, those given authority, and those under authority. So let's begin with the authority giver. If you have your Bible still out, let's go ahead and take a look at our verse today, verse 12, again, which says this: honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this commandment is very clear. It calls us to honor our father and our mother. And like a child, we might challenge this in our rebellious heart by asking the question, who says, right? Who says we are to honor our father and our mother? Well, the answer is, God says. God has given us these Ten Commandments. It's because of his authority as God that we are to honor our father and mother. For all authority belongs to God. And anybody who has that authority because God has given it to them. God is the authority giver. This is why Paul declares in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. So what is important to recognize this morning is that everyone who has authority possesses that authority by God's hand. God is the one who gives parents authority over their children. He is the one who gives elders authority over the church. He is the one who gives kings and leaders and officials authority over countries and nations and so on. This is why this commandment is far-reaching in its application. It has implications not only for parents and children, but also for any other relationship in which God has given authority to someone over another. So as we approach the fifth commandment today, we need to recognize that we are called to honor our father and mother because their authority comes from God. Now, as John Frame, a theologian, put it, our reverence for parents is not in spite of our reverence for God, but because of it. In other words, we give our parents weight in our lives because God has given them weight in our lives. We are to respect and honor their God-given authority. And because of this, when we submit to our father and mother, we are actually submitting to our heavenly Father. Honoring our father and mother is a part of our devotion to God. In fact, it's a reflection of it. How we honor our father and mother reflects how we honor our heavenly Father. So we should ask ourselves this morning, how are we doing with that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, it reinforces this point by saying, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Honoring our father and a mother is a way that we please God. It's a way that we give God glory. For when we respect our parents' authority, we are respecting God's authority. Yet the reverse is true. When we dishonor our parents, we dishonor God. By disrespecting our parents' authority, we are disrespecting God's authority. For God is the authority giver. So as kids, students, I hate to break it to you today, but you cannot say, "I'll honor the Lord, but I will not honor my parents." God doesn't give us that loophole. If we are to honor God, we must honor our parents. You know, this is no easy task for us to do. It's not easy for us to honor our father and mother. It's not easy for us to honor our God, for that matter. Anybody ever been to the rodeo? One of the most exciting and terrifying things at the same time to watch is bull riding. Right? These powerful beasts buck and thrash about as hard as they possibly can to dismount the rider who's holding on for dear life. And the rider's goal is to hold on for at least 8 seconds. Right? That's their goal. That's how difficult it is to stay on the bull. In a very similar way, we are just like that bull. Anytime we are placed under authority, anytime someone tells us that we should do something, anytime that someone tells us how to do something, anytime someone tells us that we can't do something, what do? We immediately buck and thrash about as hard as we possibly can. We may not always outwardly show our animosity or our rebellion, but it certainly is taking place in our heart. We, like a bull, refuse to be held under authority for long. And this is because our heart is sick with rebellion. Yet what we must see is that authority is for our good. Authority is for our good. There's a man named Robbie in 2011 who took a 25-day survival expedition in eastern Utah near the Dirty Devil River with a group of people. And at one point during this expedition, they had to cross the river on foot. So Robbie, he decided that he was going to scope this river up and down and find the best place to cross this river. And lo and behold, he found a sandy part that was kind of across the river, and he decided that this would be the best place to cross the river. So he starts crossing the river, and about 15 feet in, away from the riverbank, he quickly finds himself in quicksand. And he rapidly starts sinking. And the more he struggles, the more he sinks. And pretty soon he's up to his mid-thighs in quicksand. The water is up above his waist. And what makes this quicksand especially difficult for him to escape was that there was hard clay that was mixed in with it. So even though his feet were sinking, it was like his feet had been set in concrete. And there was nothing that Robbie or the people who were with him could do to free him from this quicksand. This serves as a mirror to our own lives. We are just like Robbie. We think we know best. So we reject God's authority. We reject the authority that God gives to others. We don't want to be told what to do. We want to decide what we want to do. And this is because we know the best place to cross the river. So we rebel against God, and we live according to our wisdom and not his. Yeah, walking according to our ways instead of submitting to God's ways will inevitably lead to disastrous consequences, as it did for Robbie. The Garden of Eden is a perfect example of this, right? God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. He placed them under his authority, and as long as Adam and Eve obeyed God's authority, as long as they submitted to his authority and his commandments, they would thrive, they would flourish with life. Yet the moment Adam and Eve rebelled against that authority, what they found was not life, but death. And the same is true for us. Rebellion only brings about death. So what we all must realize is that God places us under his authority and the authority of others in this life for our well-being. This is why God attaches a promise to the fifth commandment. You may not have realized that the first time you read it, but take a look at verse 12 again and see this promise that comes with the commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Submitting to the authority of our parents and to God provides us with covenant blessing. For the Israelites, this would be the corporate longevity in the promised land of Canaan. If Israel obeyed God and lived by his commandments, they would remain in the promised land. They would flourish and thrive with life. But if they disobeyed God's commandments, if they did not submit to his authority, what they would be faced with is not covenant blessing, but covenant curses. And among those curses was exile. And they would be scattered among the nations. What we have to see at the heart of this promise, it goes way beyond possessing land or not possessing land. The heart of this promise is life. When Israel submitted to God's authority and to the commandments that God had given them, they would have abundant life in living with God and walking according to his commandments. On the flip side, if they rebelled against God, they would not, their biggest loss would not be loss of land, but loss of life. We all know that the wage of sin is death. And because of this, whenever we rebel against God's authority, sickness is taking root in our hearts. Sickness is sapping the life from us. So what the fifth commandment teaches us, among other things, is that life is found when we live under authority. And death is found when we rebel. So our first takeaway is that we are called to live under the authority giver, for in doing so, we find life. So now that we've talked about the authority giver, God, let's turn our attention to those given authority, parents, right? Typically, when we read the fifth commandment, we think about this commandment is for our children, right? It doesn't really relate to us. So if you're an adult, you think, I have permission to kind of veg out, right? Space out. Doesn't really apply to me. I'm off the hook this week. Or if you're a parent, you may be elbowing your child throughout the service, being like, did you catch that? Are you listening? Are you honoring me? Are you respecting me? You need to listen to this. Because we think that the fifth commandment is primarily for their growth and their sanctification. And it's true. The fifth commandment does have a lot to say towards children. It does have a lot to say about their growth and their sanctification. But we must not forget, the fifth commandment has something for parents too. It has something to say about your growth and your sanctification as well. Parents, God has commanded your children to honor you. And one of the reasons, among many, is because you have been given a weighty task. And that task is that you are called to raise them in the Lord. You're called to raise your children in the Lord. Do you know that the foundational building block for discipleship in Scripture is the family? God's primary design in making disciples from one generation to the next is through families. In other words, what I'm saying is that God has made parents responsible for the spiritual nurture and discipleship of their children, of the coming generation. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7, it declares this, saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." We also see this in Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7, and declares the same thing. "He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And one more place that we'll look at is we also see Paul declare this in Ephesians 6:4. And Paul declares this right after he cites the fifth commandment. He says this, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This theme is across Scripture. You can't get away from it. Scripture regularly presents parents as the teachers and disciplers of their children. And this is an incredible honor and privilege. We get to give our children the gospel. We get to give them the words of life. We are called to disciple them as followers of Jesus. We get to teach them to love Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to be guardians over their spiritual well-being. This is one of the reasons why God calls children to honor their father and mother, so that children will listen to the words of life that their parents are giving them, so that they will hear the gospel, so that they will accept the discipline of the Lord, so that they may walk in his way, so that they may repent of their sins, so that they may submit to the authority of Jesus and take hold of eternal life. And this can be overwhelming for parents, right? This is a weighty task that we feel. And you may have no idea, how do I disciple my children? What does that even look like? Well, I want to encourage you that the church is here to support you, to partner with you in this. Reach out to Rachel Adams, our children's ministry director, or Caleb Mason, our student ministries director. They're here to help you disciple your kids. If you're looking for an easy and free resource on this, I wrote a guide specifically for our church. It's called Raised by Grace. It's available in the library. It's for free for you to just take and keep. But it helps show how Scripture commands us to disciple our kids and what that looks like at different age groups. So let us live out our calling as parents faithfully. Let us use the authority that God has given us for the reason that he has given it to us. And as parents, let us never forget that while we do have authority over our children, we remain under the authority of God. And because of that, we need to submit to God and how we parent our children and how we use the authority that God has given to us. So now that we've talked about the authority giver, God, and those given authority, parents, let's turn our attention to those under authority, children. And I want to focus on three things. I want to focus on what it means to honor our father and mother, why we honor our father and mother, and the exceptions to honoring our father and mother. So first of all, what does it mean to honor our father and mother? Well, John Calvin stated that it involves three things: reverence, obedience, and love. Reverence refers to a heart attitude where we respect our parents. So kids, students, if your parents tell you to do something, God calls us not only to do it, but also to do it respectfully. We should say, yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. And this leads to the second point, that we're called to obey our parents in our actions. We need to be willing to listen to our parents, to learn from our parents, and to change. So if they tell us, hey, you shouldn't say that, when we've said something sinful or something wrong, we need to be willing to listen to them. We need to be willing to learn from them, and we need to be willing to change and not speak in that manner. Thirdly, though, we're called to love our parents. This love is to be evident in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. It's to be evident for how we care for our parents, even as they age later on in life. It is to be evident in how we give our parents grace and forgiveness, right? Sometimes as kids, when our parents mess up, we kind of just want to rub it in, right? We're called to give them grace, forgiveness. We're also called to love them by showing them gratitude and thanks. Children, students, tell your dad thanks. Tell your mom thanks. They do a lot for you. They sacrifice for you daily. Tell them thanks. It's also important, though, that we understand that we never grow out of this commandment. In other words, this commandment does not cease to exist when we go off for college or when we leave the house. Instead, this commandment grows and transforms as we grow and transform. Philip Ryken, a theologian, he explained the fifth commandment as a lifetime of respect. And he put it like this. The fifth commandment is for young children. God wants boys and girls to respect their parents, to use good manners, to listen and obey all the time with a good attitude. But the fifth commandment is also for teenagers. Honoring our mother and father means that we speak well of them, even behind their back, even to our friends. We're called to listen to them, especially when they are giving us warnings about hanging out with the wrong people or experimenting with things that are going to cause us physical or spiritual damage. We're called to listen to them, to obey them, to learn from them. It also means talking to your parents. If you're a teenager, let them know what's going on in your life. That's a way that you love them. It's a way that you honor them. But the fifth commandment is also for young adults. Young adults can honor their parents when they seek their counsel, when they're going through major life decisions. They can honor them by connecting with them, spending time with them. They can honor them by respectfully listening to their advice, even when they strongly disagree with that advice. The fifth commandment, though, also remains in effect even after children grow up, move out, and start their own families. We're still called to stay in touch with our parents, to love and appreciate our parents. And as our parents age, we're called to care for them, to provide for them, whether that's financially, whether that's emotionally, spiritually. We're not called to be Jesus for them, right? Let me make that clear. But we are called to care for them. We're called to point them to Jesus, if need be. But why should we do this, right? Why should we honor our father and mother? Well, for several reasons. We've already discussed several of these. There is life to be found when we submit to God's authority and to our parents' authority. It is for our spiritual well-being to honor them. But also, we see that when we honor our parents, we are honoring and glorifying God. That's another reason we honor them, because of our love for God. Thirdly, we also honor them because in honoring them, we are loving them, right? The Ten Commandments are about loving God and loving others. And when we honor our parents, we're loving God and we're loving them. But what about the exceptions, right? Is there ever a time when you do not have to honor your parents? Right now, all the children and the students are getting excited, right? Caught their attention again. Well, as one pastor and theologian, Lincoln Duncan, put it, don't be too quick to run to the exceptions. The quintessential question of Phariseeism is, when does God's law not apply? Right? Where's the loophole? When do I not have to obey what God's word tells me to do? So we shouldn't be too hasty to run to the exceptions, but there are exceptions nonetheless. So the first exception is this. There are parents who ask their children to do things that are contrary to God's word. And when this happens, it is your duty as a child to disobey them. It is your duty to disobey your parents if they ask you to do something that is contrary to the word of God. Jesus makes it abundantly clear in the New Testament that our allegiance to God always triumphs our allegiance in any other relationship in life. We also learn from Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, that we are to obey our parents in the Lord. And Paul adds that qualification there, in the Lord, for a reason. This means that we are to honor our parents as long as it is honoring to the Lord. Yeah, let me say this, though. Even if our parents command us to do something that's contrary to God's word, and even though we must disobey them, we should seek to go about it in a winsome way still. We should seek to do it in a way that is respectful, that still honors the position of authority that God has given them in our life, even though we must disobey. Another exception comes when our parents are abusive or violent. Let me be clear that submitting to our parents and honoring them never means that we subject ourselves or others to violence or abuse. Right? That is contrary to God's word. Because of that, the duty to preserve life will always take precedence over the duty to obey one's parents. So if you are being abused, do not subject yourself or others to that abuse or violence. Find help. Talk to an adult that you trust. Come and talk to me. All right? But do not subject yourself to abuse or violence. But what about parents who do not raise us in the faith? What about parents who are unbelievers? Do we still need to honor and respect them? And the answer is yes, absolutely. This is not an exception. Just because you may have an unbelieving parent does not mean that you can dismiss them or not respect them. Instead, we are called to honor them. As long as this is not contrary to God's word, as long as it is not abusive or violent, because in doing so, we testify that we are under the authority of Jesus. When we honor them, when we respect them, it is a witness to our faith. You're setting an example for your parents of why you live differently, because you are under the authority of Jesus. So here's my big question for us this morning. I want us all to reflect on. If you were to look into your heart right now, what would you find? If you were to look into your heart right now, what would you find? Would your heart be sickly brown? Is your heart withering? Is your heart oozing with a sickness of rebellion? Is your heart having the life slowly suffocated from it? If you look into your heart, are you going to find life or death? And the truth is, it doesn't take long to see that all of our hearts are deathly sick. When we evaluate our life, it's easy to see that we've all rebelled against God as our authority giver. It's easy to see that as parents, we have misused or neglected the authority that God has given us over our children. It's easy to see as children, whether that's young children, whether that's grown-up children, whether it's children somewhere in between, that we have all dishonored our Heavenly Father. We've all dishonored our father and mother. And it's quite sobering to read in Scripture that death is exactly what we deserve when we disobey this commandment. We deserve the sickness that we find in our hearts. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 through 21, we read about this sobering punishment that we deserve. It says, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, he will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That is the fate that we deserve. Yet that is not the fate that we receive. In Luke 15, as we read earlier today, Jesus gives us the remarkable and scandalous parable of the prodigal son, which is the story of our lives. It is the story of a son who has rebelled against authority. The story of a son who has dishonored his father and mother. It is the story of a son who is a glutton and a drunkard. It is the story of a son who deserves to die. Yet at the moment when his father should have presented him before the elders to be stoned to death, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God, our heavenly Father, has seen our rebellion. He has seen how we have dishonored him and how we've dishonored our father and mother. He has seen our sickly hearts. And he has decided to do something about it. Yet instead of picking up a stone, even though he had every single right to do so, our heavenly Father has run after us in our rebellion. He has brought us back to himself through his son Jesus, whom he sent to die on the cross and raise from the dead so that our sickly heart would be healed. He has clothed us in his best robe, the perfect righteousness of Christ. And he's welcomed us into his kingdom as sons and daughters of God. So let us joyfully submit to the authority giver today so that we might find life and life abundant in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. And Lord, we confess that our heart is sick with rebellion. Lord, we hate being told what to do. We hate being told that we can't do something or how to do something. And Lord, so we rebel. We rebel from being image bearers of God. Lord, we try to be God. Lord, but we confess this as a sin. Lord, we confess our rebellion to you. We confess that we have not honored you. We have not honored our father and mother. We've rebelled against your authority and the authority that you've given to others in our life. And Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of our rebellion, that you did not pick up a stone, but rather you sent your son to die so that we might find grace, so that we might find life. Lord, help us repent of our rebellious heart. Help us live under your authority. Help us discover life and life abundant in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.